Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Over the weekend, I had the chance to talk to John Ledyard, the former host of this podcast. He is prolific in the scouting community, writing for NDT Scouting, Pro Football Weekly, and of course, the co-host right here on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. So he had a lot of great things to talk about. We had a great conversation about the NFL draft and how who the Steelers took and his overall thoughts on the draft. So going to play part one of that for you guys today. And we split it up into two parts because we had a great 30-minute conversation. But I like to keep these podcasts about 15 minutes each. So try to work in part one today, part two tomorrow. Before we get to that, I do need to talk about this Ben Roethlisberger radio interview that happened where he talked to Ron Cook and said a lot of things about the Steelers organization and specifically the fact that they drafted Mason Rudolph. Look, he said things like, you know, I don't know why they took Mason Rudolph because I said I want to play 3 to 5 more years. He said, you know, that does this mean that they screwed up the Dobbs pick a year ago by taking him in the fourth round and saying, you know, I don't know, taking a third round quarterback instead of taking someone that can help us today. I don't know why they would do that. Look, nothing he said is wrong, right? Nothing he said is things I haven't said on this podcast or things that haven't been said all around the Steelers media. The problem I have is I don't know why Ben Roethlisberger feels the need to say these things publicly. Why is our leader, is our quarterback, calling out publicly our coach and our general manager? I don't know what good comes of this. I get that he can be frustrated by this, and I would expect him to be frustrated by this. This is, in his eyes, right? I've said I want to play 3 to 5 more years, and yet you still go out and draft my replacement? Why? I want answers to that. I want to win a Super Bowl. We have a great chance to win a Super Bowl. Why are you not surrounding me with talent? I get the frustration that he has, but I wish he would talk to Mike Tomlin about that. I wish he would talk to Kevin Colbert about that and not Ron Cook on the radio, where all of a sudden this is now going to become a media story. It's not going to help this football team, and it's only going to add fuel to the fire as we get closer to the season and then, of course, into the season, because this Mason Rudolph situation was going to be a story anyway. They drafted the replacement for Ben. So Ben's going to be graded now with how Mason's doing. Mason's playing well. Ben's not. Hey, what's going on here? All the way from preseason into the regular season. Imagine if Ben has another Jacksonville performance where he throws 5 interceptions. What's going to happen then? That's already going to be a story. And now this is just going to add more fuel to that fire. Or imagine if the Steelers come out with a slow start and, you know, these comments, well, Ben, you know, do you think maybe that third round pick might have helped you out again? Why are we saying this publicly? If he wants to have that conversation with Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert, by all means, he should have that conversation with Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert. But he should not be having that publicly. The Steelers love to do this to themselves, which is to shoot themselves in the foot by creating unnecessary storylines around the team. Look back at last year, the way that they handled that Le'Veon situation by Tomlin saying, you know, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be consequences if he doesn't show up for training camp. And then everyone in the media is going, Tomlin, what are those consequences exactly? Because you started him. You didn't he didn't miss a snap. What exactly were the consequences? Oh, well, you know, they'll become more apparent as the season goes along. And then we have the whole national anthem fiasco, which the team tried to stay out of that and instead made themselves the story of the situation. You have Ben Roethlisberger, you know, saying, oh, I don't know if I have it anymore after his 5 interception game. You have the Martavis situation where he wants to go directly to the media to ask for a trade rather than going to anyone within the organization. The Steelers have done this to themselves time and time again over the last year. And I don't understand why our future Hall of Fame quarterback, why our leader, why the most tenured player on our team feels the need to voice his frustration about this Mason Rudolph pick directly to the media and not to Tomlin and Colbert. I don't know what good comes of this. I hope Ben Roethlisberger is fired up. I hope he's pissed off by this. I would hope that, because that is the kind of competitor that he is. That is the competitor I hope he is. But I don't see why going to Ron Cook and voicing your displeasure on the radio for all of Pittsburgh and all of the world to hear makes this situation any better. I think it only makes it worse. And so that is my disappointment with Ben Roethlisberger. We're going to talk more about that later in the week. I did an interview with my my former co-host on this podcast, or on Steeler Country podcast, Mike and Joe. So I'm going to talk to them later in the week about that Mason Rudolph situation. But let's get to my interview with John Ledyard about the NFL draft. All right, let's bring in the former host of this podcast. You can find him now writing for Pro Football Weekly, NDT Scouting, and right here on the Locked On Podcast Network as the co-host of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. John Ledyard, welcome back to Locked On Steelers.
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, let's talk about this draft, a very controversial draft for the Steelers. Not a lot of fans happy with who they selected. Let's start in the first round. Terrell Edmunds, you tweeted right before the Steelers selected, boy, there's just so much talent available here. How could the Steelers possibly screw this one up? and yet here we are. How badly did the Steelers screw this one up?
Well, pretty bad. And I feel bad because, you know, Edmunds, I think, is a great kid. And, you know, I think he works really hard and he definitely has athletic upside. But, you know, the reality is that this team needed a free safety. And, you know, they took an athlete who they hope someday becomes one, maybe. Well, it's not helpful in your Super Bowl window. There were guys that were closer. There's guys who have played that role, like Jesse Bates from Wake Forest. You know, this is a team that needed a guy that was going to help them win right away. And I just don't see that with Edmunds. I mean, is there developmental upside here? Maybe, but even if you look at his tape, he doesn't play anywhere close to as athletic as he tested. And I think that some guys, you know, have a general kind of lack of awareness when they played, and I would describe them very much as athletes, but not football players. And that's really what, I mean, even as he played there and as he started there and, you know, had experience there, he would just run right by guys that had the ball and just not break down and not tackle. And, you know, poor angles, just not really a good understanding of how to use his body in space. And, you know, he was just a really frustrating player to watch. And man, I mean, he fits right in. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, as I'm watching him, I'm like, it's like watching the guys the Steelers have drafted over the years. Yeah. I thought they would draft him, to be honest. I just did not. I even refused to believe that they could do it in the first round. I mean, that, you know, in the second round, if he were there, I would have bet huge money on them drafting him, because, I mean, it's all the things that are concerning in their secondary and in their defense rolled up into one player, and then they just added that with the value of a first round pick to a defense that already has tons of those issues. So, you know, that's really what it kind of compounds what's already there, and they continue to not learn from their mistakes in terms of drafting players that are far off that they just haven't been able to develop. And I know they're hoping Tom Bradley can do that, so we'll see. I mean, that's really if you're looking for hope in this pick, it's that there's a new defensive backs coach and maybe he can be the Mike Munchak and take these guys and turn them into something. You know, that's the hope. I think that's a long shot, but I think that's the hope.
Yeah, you said it. I mean, the Steelers, this is the kind of player that they love, whether it's Bud Dupree or Artie Burns, Sean Davis. Terrell Edmunds fits right in there. Was there a player you were hoping? I mean, you said there was so much talent available at 28. Was there a player you were hoping the Steelers coveted in that first round?
Well, I was hoping Harold Landry, but I knew they'd shown very little interest, and they picked up Bud Dupree's fifth-year option. And so, this is a team that's just obviously very content with having very little 1v1 pass rush talent on their team. You know, they're going to drop these outside linebackers into coverage a lot. Not at all how I would employ my what should be your best athletes and your best pass rushers, but that's the way that they're going to use it. They didn't even add depth in the draft. So, I mean,
right.
You know, it's Chickalo is the first guy off the bench. You're not getting much pass rush at all there. I mean, you're getting a hustle guy for sure, solid run defender. But, you know, if he's your third best edge pass rusher, you're hurting. So, you know, that's a position that's super weak for them. They don't feel that way, or they don't prioritize it. So I knew that wasn't really going to happen with Harold Landry. But, you know, if he goes on to be as successful as I think he can be, that's going to be one that, you know, at least a lot of Steelers fans, whether the organization feels that way or not, will look back on. I think that, you know, linebacker was kind of depleted at that point. Jesse Bates and Justin Reed both still being on the board was big. And then I think Darius Geis as well, they'd shown a lot of interest. The whispers around him were just kind of out of control and very strange throughout the pre-draft process. I have kind of an inside scoop on that situation a little bit. So I do think teams will regret passing on him, but he was another guy I would have preferred. I mean, you know, there's a lot of preferences over Edmunds, but I think the main thing is if you want to go safety, go with two guys who are a lot more pro-ready and going to make a lot bigger of an impact in Jesse Bates and in Justin Reed.
Why do you think – I was pounding the table for Justin Reed, but why do you think he fell into the third round? You know, he seemed like – and talking about the Steelers selecting Justin Reed, and they talked a lot about Edmunds being this super athletic guy who can have all this position flexibility. Justin Reed checked a lot of those boxes as well, and yet he falls into the third round. Why do you think that was?
It was really kind of unusual. Dane Brugler tweeted out the other day, works for NFL Draft Scout. He tweeted out the other day, and he's also has, you know, a lot of inside access to the Cowboys and stuff, does a lot of things down there with the Cowboys media coverage. But he tweeted out that the Cowboys would have taken Justin Reed at number 50 if Connor Williams didn't make it to them. So
really,
this is kind of how the draft works. You know, Reed went at 68, okay, 18 spots after that. But that's really kind of how the draft works. It's just little margins of error. Teams have needs elsewhere. Teams see a fit elsewhere with a player they like dropping down the board. And, you know, you heard the Lions talk about it with Tyrell Crosby, right? They said when they got Tyrell Crosby in the fifth round, they said they couldn't believe he was there on day three. They just had other needs that they needed to address. And then they kept drafting and he was still on the board. And so they took him. And they said, if you told me he would have been available at this point in the draft, I would have told you you were nuts. But so sometimes that's how it happens. Not that there isn't any concern. You know, I think teams are wondering kind of where to play Reed, but it is really curious that he was even available in the third round. I think that, I mean, the Texans had crying needs in other places, but they were like, how is this guy still here? Snapped him up. So, you know, sometimes that happens with players. You know, I don't know that it's necessarily an indication of anything per se. You know, Carl Lawson went to the fourth round last year. Maybe it was injury concerns because he'd had some rough health issues, but he was a first round grade for me. And then, you know, outplayed every other edge rusher in the class last year. So, I mean, sometimes those kind of things happen where really good players just fall through the cracks. And, you know, Reed didn't even make it near that far. You know, 68 still, you know, basically a late second round type of range. But, you know, I would imagine he had a second round grade from a lot of different teams. And then you see weird things happen, like the Steelers take Mason Rudolph in the third round and they say that they had a first round grade on him. So, I mean, that's what I mean. Teams probably had first round grades on Reed. It's just a matter of there were other players that fell that they really liked on their board. So teams' boards can be weird, and that can sometimes cause players to fall through the cracks. And sometimes it just, you slip through until you get to the right team and the right fit.
Yeah, no, very true. Let's talk about this team and what they're going to do now on defense, now that they didn't get their inside linebacker. Of course, there was so much talk that they were trying to move up and get Rashawn Evans. They end up taking Edmonds, and then they took Marcus Allen in the fifth round, another kind of in-the-box type of safety. There's been so much talk now about how the Steelers are going to use all of these safeties and really the dime defense, right? Realistically, how much dime do you think the Steelers will play in 2018? It's something they've tried to do in the past, right, with William Gay, with Robert Golden. Seems like now at least they have the in-the-box safety types. Do you think they start using those guys instead of, you know, John Bostic in passing down situations?
Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, even in place of Vince Williams, you know, I think it's definitely possible. And I think that, you know, it's interesting because, you know, if you look across the board kind of at the different types of safeties that are available, you know, I think you have your true box guys that are almost like linebackers, you know, that don't have much value outside of that zone coverage, true dime safety type of players. And then you have your nickel safeties who are like your guys that, you know, if you want to play three safeties instead of three corners, they can step into the box and match up against slot receivers / bigger tight ends that flex out. And you have those kind of guys. That's kind of where Minkah Fitzpatrick and Derwin James and even Justin Reed to an extent, like those guys kind of showed what they have, I think, in those roles. You know, the man coverage aspect of playing safety, those guys are better. So that's kind of like you have your box safeties, you have your like nickel big slot safeties, and then I think you have your deep safeties, you know, preferably your single high true free safety types. And everybody should be able to play in two high shells, and you know, you might not have ball skills in those points, but you know, I think that everybody should be able to basically handle those types of coverage assignments. You know, but guys who can play single high and free safety. So those are basically your three different types. There weren't a lot of the single high guys. The Steelers had a shot at one of them, Jesse Bates, and said the Bengals ended up drafting him when the Steelers passed on him. And we're going to, you know, probably look back at that one for a long time, going to be able to compare Bates and Edmonds and see what happens within the same division when they play. But I think that was, you know, that's a big part of it is needing that one type of safety and not being a ton of those kind of guys available. With Marcus Allen, it does get interesting. You know, he is terrific against the run. I mean, as against the run, I really wanted to grade him higher, but he just doesn't do anything in coverage. I mean, he doesn't make any plays in the ball. He sits real deep like Mike Mitchell did this past season, like a guy who knows he doesn't have the instincts and the athleticism anymore to make plays. That's kind of like Allen. He just sits way deep. Nobody gets behind him, but he doesn't make any plays in the ball. And a lot of plays happen in front of him. And, you know, just not a very instinctive guy in coverage, but really instinctive around the box. So just a really interesting, you don't see that separation in skill set very often. But, I mean, he started basically 4 years at Penn State and has made, like, I think his 10 passes defense in his whole career. Like, that's insane. Wow. I mean, Denzel Ward had like 15 this past season. Yeah. Just to give you an example, I mean, he never had more than three in a season, Marcus Allen. So, I mean, he just – and sometimes those numbers lie in terms of what the tape shows, but not in this situation. Like, I saw that and then watched him, and, I mean, the dude never – you know, he really hardly ever makes plays on the ball. So, you know, that right there takes your value way down as in terms of being a single high guy. And the Steelers really need, you know, a playmaker. So I don't think he'll be in that role. I think he's going to be around the line of scrimmage a lot. Yes, he'll be the dime type defender, that for sure. Does he convert full time to linebacker? I think that's an interesting conversation worth probably having about Marcus Allen, because he is 215 already. He's over 6'2". He definitely has the frame to put on more weight. He's so much more effective around the box. And everybody's like, oh, can he get off blocks? You know, if you process quickly and attack quickly and play downhill, it becomes way less of a concern than people think it is. And I think Allen does that a lot on tape. So, you know, I would like to see them try and switch him, you know, whether they call it a linebacker, whether they call it a box safety, and he just plays a lot, then there's a lot of, you know, dime or nickel, whatever, with him on the field. You know, that's something I would like to see the team explore, because, again, they did nothing at linebacker, and that position is just really hurting right now.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting move. And yeah, could the Steelers have no depth at that position whatsoever. So.
None.
So it's bad. Anything they can do there would help for sure. All right, so that's going to do it for part one of this interview. Tomorrow, we get into talking about Mason Rudolph. We get to talking about the Martavis trade and the just overall thoughts on this draft. So stay tuned to that tomorrow. If you want to leave feedback, at Steeler Country on Twitter, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. Remember to go to LockedOnSports.com for all your NFL, NBA, MLB news. And go to Locked On Steelers for more of this podcast. I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.